Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. It's the build-up show. Arsenal versus Liverpool Wednesday, 8:15 kickoff. I'm your host, Paul Machen. I'm joined by Chris Pager, by Sam Walker, and by Jay Spearing as well for this one. Yes, let's dive straight into it. Chris, Arsenal... I was going to say dreadful since the restart, and I think there's a little bit of, it's probably because I've seen those clips of Arsenal fan TV getting dead upset in their little studio. Like, it feels like every week there's a new one. They've actually not they didn't start well, and they obviously just lost the North London derby. They didn't have a good spell in the middle, but I think it's fair to say that Arsenal are far from the complete package at the moment, is probably a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, and at moment, last 4 or 5 years, whatever. I mean, it's all the same for Arsenal at the moment, isn't it? I think it's only 3 wins, 3 losses and a draw. So it's pretty poor form, all told, for Arsenal since the restart. Obviously, they get a win in the cup as well, I think, don't they? Yeah. But look, I can't fathom Arsenal, because we sit here and we talk about them, and you know, you have chats about teams with your mates and stuff, and it's just like, it's always about the defence and how crap the defence is, and they're playing three at the back, and like yesterday against Tottenham, and I'm like, your defence is so bad, it's not a five at the back, it's a genuine three at the back. Like, they've got Bellerin and Tierney, I think it was yesterday, they were playing nowhere near three jokers of centre-halves. Like, they're just fucking useless. They just shoot themselves in the foot all the time. And no doubt now that I've said that, they'll have a piss of worthy and have a nice smash one in from 40 yards, free kick again against us or whatever. But, you know, they're just shit. Like, genuinely shit. Like, they look good going forwards. They look all right going forwards. Like, that goal Lacazette scored yesterday is incredible. Like, the way he just twats it. Like, that's a goal for me that needed fans in the stadium to tell you how good it was. Yeah. Because it just hit the back of the net and it was like, oh, wow. But there was just nothing there, because the whole place would have erupted in a North London derby if you scored a goal like that. But I think Liverpool go out there, and I think they're an easier side to play than Burnley, to be honest with you.
I think, aside from the fact that Chris has just broken the world record for the amount of swear words in the first opening contribution to a show.
I think it was my record anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, to be fair. We're not
getting the points record, so I'm going for swear word records, okay?
We'll just add it to the pile of records that we achieved this season, definitely. The Arsenal situation's interesting, because I think Chris is right. Going forward, they've got some fantastic players. You can't, you know, Lacazette, great. Aubameyang is great. You know, he's a goal scoring machine, isn't he? I really like the look of Saka, who's coming through. And they've got, you know, and Pepe, for some reason, I think people still give him stick or whatever, but I think he's had a pretty decent fair season, all told. But it's right, and we talked on the Final Word show about managers who buy players for systems, and this is one of the things that Arteta's maybe struggling with. I think he's got an idea of how he wants to play, and I think, but he's stuck in a situation where, and I think maybe Carlo Ancelotti's got this at Everton as well, to some extent. He knows how he wants to play, and it's what's the benefit? Is the benefit to the lads who he's definitely going to have next season for them to be playing in this system now, when it's being undone by a bunch of lads who don't suit the system? And so I have a little bit of a sympathy for what Mikel Arteta's trying to do. He's obviously got the right ideas, but should he maybe just be a bit more pragmatic and pick a system that works?
It's tough for him, because he wants to try and put across the way that he wants to play, and that's tough because he's stuck with, like you said, I hate to say, Deadwood, in other words, you know what I mean? People that he doesn't want there, but he's got no other choice than to play them. And he's trying to, he's come from Man City, and let's be honest, when he was there as coach of Man City with Pep, they were unbelievable. He must have loved his job. It was so easy. He had the best players to pick from. He could do what he wanted. He was learning from Pep. And he's got a set of bollocks to go and take over Arsenal, because, like, for the last couple of years, Arsenal have been just okay, you know what I mean? They've not done anything. But because of the attachment that he had to the club, he's grew a set. He's gone, right, you know what, I'm going to try and have a go. And to be fair to him, he's trying. But like you said, he's got too much dead wood, in my opinion, that he's trying to play the way that he wants to express himself. But because of the plays he's got, he just can't. And I don't know if that's right or that's wrong. Maybe whether he must look at it and say, right, I've got to change it for now. And then maybe I've been promised in this window that I might be able to bring in a few players that I like. But at the minute, just something's not, it's just not working for him. And I don't want him to kill himself where the fans start like calling for his head and stuff like that and think, right, Arteta is not right to be the manager at Arsenal. And I really don't want that to happen, because I think he could really do well there. But yeah, something's got to happen to try and get him through between now and the end. Not many games left, but, you know, just try and help him out and not have, like, he's going to, you know, lost that derby yesterday, so the fans will be on his back. And then if he loses again on Wednesday, well, hopefully he does, he'll be on his back again, do you know what I mean? And it's kind of like, he's got to try and find the middle ground just to get to the end of the season.
It's mad, isn't it, Sam, how quickly it happens. I mean, it's not necessarily happened quickly with Arsenal. I think if we really analysed it, this has been they've been on the slippery slope for the last, you know, I say Chris says 3 or 4 years or whatever, maybe more. But it's you don't realise it. But you don't realise it until you look at the league table and you see, you know, Spurs and Arsenal battling it out for 7th and 8th in the league. And, you know, these are, Spurs as well. You know, this is the difficult situation they've got, and they are the miles off the pace, but all that being said, while you've got those lads in attack, and I agree with Chris's notion, I think Liverpool would much rather play a nice open team who want to come and play a game of football against us. But there's nothing to stop them getting a couple of goals, and all of a sudden the game's very, very different.
Yeah, and they managed to do that against Wolves. And I know we're not Wolves, we're the stronger side than Wolves, but that's exactly what they did. They were resolute, they scored a couple of goals on the counter-attack, and they end up winning the game 2-0, and quite comfortable. It could have been more in the end. That's the worry, isn't it? That teams look at Burnley and look at Villa and take some sort of hope from that and set up that way. I mean, I don't particularly think Arsenal have got the concentration and focus to do that for 90 minutes, especially the fact they played the day after us against Spurs and got beaten the 80-whatever minute. They're going to be tired, worn out. But, yeah, I think it's a game for goals for me. I think if Liverpool are open, we're probably likely to concede there, because they have got Aubameyang, Lacazette, Pepe, players who have got some quality up front. But in terms of at the back, you should be able to.
Was it inner child getting excited about the game there, mate?
I think that was his hostage.
Lockdown, mate. Yeah. But where Arsenal have been, haven't we? We've had Luis Suarez and Fernando Torres at Stamford. We still got beat by like Swansea away and Villa away in games like that. You know, 2012, maybe 2010. We've been there, so it's you know, we recognise where they are, and it's not a simple fix if they can just go and get 2 or 3 players in the summer. It's going to take a long time for Arsenal and probably a year or two out of Europe. But as for their sake, at least they've got a man at the helm who kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and that's what they're looking for at the moment, really, someone to buy into. But look, Chris, let's talk about us. You know, we have been inconsistent since the restart itself. It's all well and good sitting here. Now, of course, we can sit here and laugh Liverpool's inconsistency off, because, of course, you know, champions. But, you know, we've speculated for probably a week or so now about how Klopp would gear up for this game and whether it was a case of him getting his best 11 on the pitch. And I think now we're going to see how much Klopp is asked about the points record, because I think if he really genuinely wants the points record, we're probably going to see Liverpool's first team, certainly in this game, and more than likely for the Chelsea game as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, a 7-day break between Arsenal and Chelsea probably adds to that and makes it easier for him to do as well, doesn't it? You know, small turnaround for this game Wednesday night after Saturday. I think we'll see our first 11, to be honest with you. I think we'll see our first 11 in both games. I do think he wants a points record. I do think that the players probably want it. whether you can get it or you can achieve it, whatever, you know, it's been a tough place to go, the Emirates, for us, really, hasn't it? You know, all told, I think, since you know, they opened it. So it might be time for us to go down and lay a bit of a marker down. I think, you know, when you look at Arsenal, I do think that it will be, because of the stadium, because of the team, I think it'll be a really open and entertaining game of football. And I think Liverpool are better to capitalise on that. There'll be disappointments. You know, you can see the anger from Robertson after the last game against Burnley. You know, they'll want to go out there and they'll want to prove a point, because they're competitors at the end of the day. You know, and Klopp's a competitor, and he keeps saying it, it's one game at a time. You know, we get through this game and then all of a sudden we're in striking distance of 100 points, aren't we? You know, we're on 96 there, and I think it's easier for us to get 100 points. But you've got to go out there and you've got to perform against Arsenal first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, we had these conversations all season, Jay. We've been talking about how, when we were talking about when the going invincible thing was on the line, which I think is pertinent given we're talking about Arsenal, is that these conversations are not worth having until you're in the final stretch and it's possible. And all points record stuff I think now's the time to have the conversation, is that Liverpool now know if they win the next three games, they'll break the points record. If they get two wins and a draw, they'll equal it. And if they're anything less than that, and they just won't. And that'll be, we'll see how much of motivation that is for the players as well, to be perfectly honest. And if they're prepared, if that's enough motivation for them to put the body on the line from minute one to minute 90, whatever.
I think they'll put exactly the same work ethic and the same desire into every game. I think they'll do it against Arsenal because, like you said, we've not had a fantastic record at the Emirates. They seem to pick up their level against us, so we'll need to. And I think, again, we'll find out how much Klopp cares about the points record with the team selection he does. Mm-hmm. We've said in the other conversation that we've seen changes in the last two games, three or four at each game, and Klopp doesn't make changes. So if he makes changes again, then you can see that, is he really bothered about the points? But then if he starts our main 11, then he is obviously about it secretly. I don't think he'd come out and say, yeah, I am bothered about the points. But I think as fans, we'd see that if it was our strongest 11 come Wednesday night, then he is trying to chase it. And we've got, it's a big opportunity for us to go and to get a decent result, because the way Arsenal are playing at the minute for me, I just don't see how they could handle our press, our intensity, and on our front three alone, especially their back four or five, whatever they want to play. I think our front three could cause problems all night long.
I think the good thing we've got going for us, Sam, is that, you know, we discussed this on the final word, that the Burnley result probably makes it feel like Liverpool aren't necessarily in form or whatever going into this. Whereas I look at the way that we've performed in the last three games, Aston Villa, I thought we played really well against City and got annihilated. I thought we played terribly against Aston Villa, largely, and came out with the win. We improved the second half. I thought we had some really good spells in Brighton, and I thought largely we were really good against Burnley. So in terms of the performances, the results, I think the results don't necessarily reflect what mood Liverpool are in. And all of a sudden, Andy Robertson, I think, has finally found form, having struggled since the restart, really. Yes, Salah will be disappointed to have missed a couple of big chances in the last couple of games, but I still see him as being in fantastic overall form. Mane looked a lot sharper against Burnley as well, particularly in the first half. Firmino as well. We've probably played ourselves as close to full strength, Hendo notwithstanding, as we've been since restart, really.
Yeah, and it's interesting you talk about the changes earlier on there, Jay. I think he's actually set the changes up so that we can go full strength in this game, because if you look at the lads who were left out, they're likely to come back in, and you can't really see him changing the front three, the back two, Robbo. That's not really going to change much, is it? So I think we do go into this game with our sort of strongest 11. It's interesting to see what you guys think, whether you think Keita's in that, because he didn't start last game. I think he probably does play in this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think the fans not being at the Emirates will help us, because I know Arsenal's fans aren't known to be the most sort of atmospheric, but against Liverpool, it's always under the lights. There always seems to be something in the air. Same with City, isn't it? There's always something in the air when Liverpool come to town. There's that sort of long shown battle we've had with them. And I think it will help us having that calm. And it's a nice big pitch for us, for our quicker players to use. The wide men will be pushing up high. I think I think it's definitely a game for us to go and win. The only thing that stops us winning this game for me is our potency up front. If we're not at it up front again, I think we might draw the game and potentially lose it. But I think if the half as sharp in front of goal as the way maybe in the first half against Brighton, against Crystal Palace, and even to an extent against Villa, I think we win the game quite comfortable. So I'm quite confident going into it, and I agree with you as well. This is it now. This is the points record now, isn't it? The last three games. This is the semi-final first leg. Get this game won. Chelsea's got more than one objective. Win the game, lift the trophy, points record, etc., etc. So I'm really looking forward to a proper performance from the lads on Wednesday.
Yeah. The Naby Keita one's an interesting one, isn't it, Chris? I agree with Sam. I can't see how Naby Keita doesn't start this game. I think there's options. I mean, Milner not being on the bench, you know, we don't quite know where he's at. We know Lallana's not likely to be involved for the rest of the season just because of Klopp's kind of protecting him for his next move. And then you're left with the choice, really. So it's Keita... Keita, Ox or Curtis. I wouldn't be upset to see Curtis Jones get another game, but I do think there's a pecking order still to this.
Well, there's a pecking order, and also the fact that he gave his all for 65 minutes at the weekend, isn't there? I think, you know, Naby for me, since restart, probably one of our most consistent performers. Maybe even our best.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
To be honest, I've really, really enjoyed seeing him. Certainly the last two games, he was my sort of Liverpool player of the game, both games. Obviously, you know, the last one doesn't count because he came on as a sub. So I think he goes straight back into the midfield. I think it's him, it's Wijnaldum, it's Fabinho, it's the back five, and it's the front three.
Yeah.
And we see where we go, and we go, come on, stick it to them, get as many goals as you possibly can. Now, I would like to see us play a bit more of a strategic game. I think we've been quite open at times, like going to try and kill teams off, trying to get two and three goals. I wouldn't mind Liverpool just sort of controlling the game a little bit more and maybe not going for the throw quite as much and leaving ourselves a bit open at the back. Because I think that's the one difference for us since restart. You know, since we won the league, we've just been going hammer and tongs to try and blow teams away, and it's not what got us here. And I don't think it's what we're best suited at either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it, Jay? Is that I think there's a logic in since restart happened that if you can get a good lead up, then it's much harder for teams to turn that round now, because when you haven't got a crowd cheering you on, etc. But you know, Chris is right. Maybe we've got the balance a little wrong, because some of the chances we've conceded since the restart have been very simple, you know, a lot of straight balls down the middle. We've been quite exposed to counter attacks, etc.
We've probably conceded more chances since lockdown than we probably have done the whole season before lockdown. In my opinion, I wouldn't put it past you. If you looked at it in like the stats or whatever, you probably would have, because like you said, they've gone this way of just literally wanting to kill teams off, and they're non-stop, and they're going, and for me, Burnley kind of summed it up, that we were going and going and going, but we were leaving ourselves open, and because we never scored that second, it automatically, once we started missing chances, give Burnley that confidence to then say, listen, hold on a minute, we get half a chance here, we could be back in the game, and obviously it happens to get back into it. But I'd like to see a more solid professional, not professional, that's the wrong word, probably more like a solid together unit of like, and you know what I mean, solid performance throughout everything, from the start to the finish, and just kind of not see them chances be given away.
No, I think you're right. I think you look at, but I think professional, I we get your meaning on that. Is that you get the ball, you knock it round, you just look to crush the life out of them over a longer period. You know, it sounds, you know, the archetypal score, dominate the ball, score just before half time, score a second goal on like 75 minutes, and then decide whether you want to push for three or whether you're just happy to sit back. And you're right. I think that this is one of those games, particularly because Arsenal are a big team, and you know, regardless of where they're at, I think it would give us all a lot of encouragement to see Liverpool. I don't need to see Liverpool batter Arsenal everywhere. No. It'd be nice just to see them get a good command and win.
Yeah, as I'm saying, you want to see them from start to finish, just command the game, run the game, dominate, do what Liverpool do and have done for the last 2 or 3 years. No disrespect again to Burnley, but the difference between strikers and the attacking plays from Arsenal and Burnley, completely different. So we are going to be, we have to be a lot wiser and a lot like, you know what I mean? So going forward as much in attacking as much as we have done against Burnley and Brighton, say, for instance, we might not have the opportunity to do that. So that may hinder the game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam, anything? Would you be doing anything different in here? I mean, I think it is at this point. I don't think Ox has really taken the opportunities yet. And again, this is not, I mean, I'm sure people will see it as this, but it's not. Ox is fine. It's just, in terms of how he's performed, I just think Naby's performed better than him in the chances. So it probably just means that he will get the nod ahead of him.
Yeah, Ox played really well in that game against Atletico Madrid. And at that period of time, you know, he was probably pushing a place in the starting 11 week after week, and we're only playing one game a week then as well, would have suited him. But just the way that the cards have sort of been dealt, and you know, with having that long period off and coming back, and the way things have fell, I just think it's not really suited him best. I think he's, like you said, I think he's fine. It's a simple case of Wijnaldum and Keita at the moment are more suited to our team. They're just slightly more in form, and no one's going to replace Fabinho. Now Henderson's obviously going to be out for the remaining games. So I don't see it, to be honest. I think he comes on. I think he plays a part in the game. And God forbid we have an injury in training or anything, I see Ox as our 12th or 13th man for this one. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing too much different. I agree with all of you in terms of it would be good to see us be a bit more patient and control the game. Maybe Fabinho just sitting deep for the first half and not necessarily pushing too far forward. I'd like to see us be a bit more direct. I think against a City, it worked for us. Over the top against Brighton at times, it looked like we were in. Fabinho picking the ball up deep, or even Van Dijk or Gomez playing that ball straight over Arsenal's defence, because they're not going to naturally sit back, are they? David Luiz is David Luiz. They are what they are. They're going to push up, play the high line when they can. So I can see Chris smiling there. I think for me, that's all I would say is at times we need to be direct, but just control the game and use what our assets are, and we'll win the game.
The big issue we're going to have, in terms, it's all well and good, Chris, saying, like, I think we should be quite a bit more reserved and not go full for the throat, etc., etc. But Arsenal, let's go back to what we were saying at the start. They're going to be taking goal kicks short out from the back. They're going to be playing it round. And for a side like Liverpool, that is like a red rag to a bull. When they see teams doing that, particularly with some of the players they've got. Then look, David Luiz is a, we laugh about him, but he's a fantastic footballer, you know, but it's the other lads around him and whether they're set up for it. And I just think, I always think back to when we were under Brendan Rodgers and we played Arsenal very early on and tried to play the passing game, and we came up against the pass masters and we just looked like kids trying to play like Arsenal, and they just looked like the team that were built for it. The roles are completely reversed now, and I do just wonder whether we'll be able to contain ourselves, because I think Arsenal will present us with opportunities to try and kill them. And will we have it in ourselves to, like...
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I've got no issue with a high press against Arsenal. I mean, Kolasinac, Luis, Mustafi is the other centre-half, isn't it? You know, it's the blood in the water and where the shark's circling at that point, and rightly so. What you don't want is Liverpool Liverpool's fullback bombing on every single time. That's what I'm talking about. And leaving Fabinho, who's maybe a little bit high at times, and therefore just Gomez and Van Dijk. That's what I mean. I've got no issue with a high press against Arsenal. I think it's probably the right thing to do. But then you've got, like, you've got to respect, actually, I think Martinez is maybe a better keeper than Leno as well. I think he's actually playing quite well the last couple of games. I've not really seen enough of him to say, you know, is he good with the ball at his feet? He probably isn't if he's not starting, because his shot stopping seems to be very good. But certainly you've got to get at Kolasinac, Luis and Mustafi. That should be our playmaker in this game. I know Klopp said it in the past, hasn't he?
It makes you wonder, Jay, whether how we and again, we were a little open, but how we started against Brighton, particularly the role in Naby Keita, could be pivotal to this, because, you know, if they're going to pass out from the back, more often than not, you know, goalkeepers like that, fizz that direct ball into the anchor man or whatever, and that'll be Naby's job to try and disrupt that as much as possible.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree with everything that Chris just said. That's perfection. I think that let them think that they can play and just get on them and go and attack them. Obviously, I was just talking more like, so the wing backs not leaving ourselves wide open with their attacking options. But if they want to play out, then listen, go and attack them and do what we've done against Brighton, do what we've done all year round. Go and think they're good enough to do it, but then realise, hold on a minute, shit, these are incredible pressing and winning it back. Give them that little slight confidence and make them believe that they can do it, and just show, hold on a minute, you've got absolutely no chance of getting out, and then go to kill them off, you know what I mean? And let's hope David Luiz is still towing the caravan from yesterday. So
have you ever played against him, Jay?
Yeah, he's an absolute, oh, I'm not going to say the word because it's quite aggressive, but he's an absolute tit.
What does he do? Why is he winding you up so much?
He's just annoying. Like, all stuff like in the box and attacking boxes, he just push you and like pinch you and like punch you in the back, and you're thinking, what are you doing? Like on corners and stuff like that. Yeah, he'll do all sorts, mate. He's horrible.
He seems a mad character, doesn't he? Like,
he's just strange, you know what I mean? But like, even right at the start, I turned the game on yesterday in the first 30 seconds. As a derby, it's frantic, innit? And within 30 seconds, he tried to bring one down and be cocky, and Kane tackled him. And I think he had a shot, didn't he, and nearly scored. And I just think, like, it is arrogance sometimes. It just annoys me. Like, I know he's a great player, he's done, you know what I mean? But he's too cocky sometimes. And listen, let him think he's cocky and let him have the ball, because we'll just nick it off him, so.
I just realised, you'll have played against Arteta as well. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think...
Is he a titching?
Is he? Did you manage to knock any of his hairs out of place? Because it doesn't look possible.
Hey, mate, it's like a solid Lego head.
He definitely uses Pritt stick on his hair, doesn't he?
Glued down that.
Fantastic. Come for the analysis, stay for the banter. Welcome to Red Men TV, everyone. great. I'd look at it's a game to look forward to, Sam. You know, regardless of all this, is that we talked on the final word about the anti-climax a little bit of having won the title. We've not seen us lift it yet, so it's still not a properly real thing. And then you're playing Villa and you're playing Burnley in this time, and the teams that you feel like you should be battering. So when you don't batter them, it's always going to be a little sense of disappointment. Regardless of where Arsenal are, it's just a game to look forward to, because it means there's more on the line. There's more pride on the line. They've got some really good players who are going to keep us on our toes. Just nice to see good football players playing. It's going to be a good game of football to watch, and to get excited for, because of the stature of it, regardless of how Arsenal have fallen, maybe from the top of the league.
Because when we were struggling at times, Liverpool versus Arsenal or Arsenal versus Liverpool was still a big game. We still had loads of friends and people that we knew supported Arsenal. Obviously, Arsenal fan TV, you know, but there was always that banter there. It was always built up well on Sky, and it's the same, isn't it? You know, Arsenal are capable of, I think they've beaten a few big teams this season already, haven't they? They're capable of putting on some form of performance. There's a reason why Aubameyang's like joint second top scorer or something like that. They've got quality in their team, and I expect us to beat Arsenal, but I am cautious and concerned about, you know, the Reds. If we have an off day, we can lose this game, and I'm excited for it. I think, you know, it's a late kickoff as well, which is great. You know, people, obviously, it's dark under the lights. I'm really intrigued to see how Arteta approaches
him. Are they not going to turn them on?
Well, that's probably going to be the only way they're going to beat us, isn't it? On form. But, like, I'm intrigued to see what Arteta does, because you've just been talking about it then with Jay about and with Chris actually as well, about the pressing at the Brighton game. He would be a bit stupid to go into that game, ask his sub-goalkeeper and his lunatic defenders to try and play five-a-side football against the best three pressers in world football. Let's not have it right. We are the best pressing team in world football. We have been for 3 years. But will he do it? Will he say, no, we're training for next season. This game doesn't matter. There's nothing to win and lose here. We're not going to be in Europe. Or does he go, actually, sod that, push up to the halfway line and we're going to play direct football? I think the way they set up is going to be really telling to see how the game goes. Hopefully, they just do what Potter does and we stick to our guns and we beat them 4-5-0 or 5-1. But I think that's going to be a big tell. First 10 minutes of the game will tell us how it's going to sort of pan out in terms of style of play.
Absolutely. Let's get some score predictions then from you guys. Chris, what do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be 4-0 Liverpool.
Oh, go ahead. Jay?
I don't think he's changed his style of play, by the way.
I go 3-0.
Okay, Sam?
I'm going 3-1. We keep conceding worldies, don't we? So 3-1, they get a worldie goal somewhere.
I've gone big on every prediction, I think, since restart. I may as well stick with it, but I'll go, because why not? Like a mad 4-3 to Liverpool.
Oh, God.
Just a bananas game of footy. Why not? And then
you know what? I didn't really like that at first, and I'm like, maybe it'll just make me feel alive. So I'd like that now. I think I might prefer that to just a 4-0.
Yeah.
I just want to feel something, Paul.
But how? What's the best way for it? Is it like a Newcastle style goal back and forth? Or I mean, I don't want us just to go 4-0 up and then concede three goals, because everyone will just have a face to the floor at the end of it.
I want them to be 3-0 up. and then what we'll do is we'll stop our live stream. We'll throw the dummies out the pram, we'll stop it, and then we'll jump on AFTVs when it gets to 3-2, and we'll sit there as fans watching it, hoping and waiting for the inevitable meltdown.
To see if DT does any more Michael Jackson kicks. Right. Thanks, guys. Let us know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube what you would like to see the starting 11 to be. Is it just as simple as bringing Keita into the midfield, or would you do something different, even in terms of any other positions on the pitch? Score predictions in there as well. We will be back live 45 minutes before kickoff, so 7:30 on Wednesday evening with our commentary, me and Chris live in the studio once again for that. I'm hoping to have a preview with Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV as well going out before then, so fingers crossed his busy schedule of presumably travelling from his small white room in Milton Keynes to outside the Emirates to do his shows doesn't fill up too much of his time between now and then. We will be back post-match with another Final Word show, which of course is available to members on YouTube and subscribers to the RedmenTV.com. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. And I can't wait to get this game underway. I'll see you all on Wednesday.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.